Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
If you are a woman listening to this show right now, have you ever had a man approach you in a public venue, say, for example, a shopping mall, a health and fitness club, a post office, or just walking down the street? If so, were you cool with him approaching you, or did that bother you? Next question, what is your definition of sexual harassment? If you are a man listening to this show right now, have you ever approached a woman in a public venue, such as a shopping mall, a grocery store, a bookstore, or just walking down the street? If so, have you ever had a woman accuse you of harassing her? Have you ever been thrown out of a shopping mall or other public venue for approaching women in a provocative, straightforward manner? Tonight, my guest and I are going to engage in a discussion and debate about the notion of single heterosexual men approaching women in public venues. My guest argues that this type of behavior is wrong, socially inappropriate, and should be considered a form of sexual harassment. I, of course, feel very, very differently. Whose opinions are most valid? We shall see. Who is this woman who has harsh criticisms of men who fancy themselves as pickup artists and men in general who approach women in places like shopping malls looking for phone numbers and future opportunities for sex? Her name is Lauren Messervey, and tonight Ms. Messervey will engage in a spirited debate with yours truly about the pros and cons of approaching women as Lauren takes time out of her busy schedule in order to get upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how'd you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, Mode One. Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend Alan Roger Curry. Mode One. Let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Yeah.
the legend of the phoenix. All ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning? The force from the beginning.
Gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, January 30th. Just one more day left after today in the first month of 2014. And I envy every one of my male and female listeners who live in a warm city. I don't like you right now. I just want to let you know I don't like you right now. I mean, you know, this might sound weird to say, but I love you as my listener, but I dislike the fact that you live in a motherfucking warm-ass city because it's freezing in the Chicagoland. But anyway, I got love for everybody, even my warm city listeners. Tonight should be, sometimes I'm wrong in my predictions of various episodes, but my general prediction is this should be a provocative discussion and debate. Depending on the personality of my guests, it could even, in a couple stretches, could get contentious. Because I actually had an episode about a year to a year and a half ago, an episode that was very similar to what we're going to be discussing tonight. I don't know if you remember, but if you've been a long-time listener of mine, you'll remember that, I can't remember the exact date of that last show. It was somewhere between a year to a year and a half ago. I had a guy on my show from India who was in a hospital with his mother, and he was a fan of my books, and he asked this woman out for coffee. He didn't say anything like X-rated, like I want to put my dick in your mouth, and nothing too provocative. He just, in a very basic way, asked her out for a cup of coffee, and he got thrown in jail. He got thrown in jail for like 6 or 7 hours. I was mad. Woo! I wanted to fly over to India and meet the people who gave him a hard time. Matter of fact, some of the security personnel actually assaulted him. They assaulted him. If you hear me typing, I'm looking for that episode so I can give you the exact date. It was February of last year. February of last year. So, yeah, that was about right. It was actually just under a year ago. It was just under a year ago when I had that episode. Yeah, that was in mid-February. Of last year. Yeah, it was a guy who was a fan of my books. He had read my books. He asked a woman out who was a doctor in a hospital, and the security personnel actually assaulted him, and then he got thrown in jail. And, you have to go back and listen to the episode, but I was livid. I won't even just lie to you. I was livid. because I do not think there's anything illegal or inappropriate about a man approaching a woman in public. But there's some who feel like there is. And my guest tonight is one of those. I first came across her because she writes for the Huffington Post, and she wrote a blog piece about, it was kind of a combination of two stories. I don't know if you remember, but there was a little boy in Colorado that got accused of sexual harassment and for kissing some classmate of his. And he actually was going to get suspended until they reversed. It was just crazy. And so she mentioned that in her piece, but she also talked about there was in Toronto, as you know, I don't, if you're familiar with what's called the attraction and seduction community, and you know the names of certain pickup artists / seduction gurus / dating coaches, a lot of them hail from Canada. A lot of them hail from Canada. I want to argue that probably next to United States, I would probably say the country that has the second highest number of well-known pickup artists and dating coaches is probably Canada. And like I know a guy I've worked with, Sasha Daygame, he's originally from Canada. David X, who I've been on stage with, he lives in Canada. Johnny Soporno, he lives in Canada. And there's a few other guys I can't think of off the top of my head, but it's quite a few guys who live in Canada that are in that work in the realm of either being a pickup artist mentor or a dating coach or a seduction guru. And anyway, evidently a group of pickup artists were going to approach a number of women in Toronto, and the security personnel of the mall got wind of it. So they kind of put a halt to it. And she wrote a piece about it. And of course, she was on the side of those who were against women being approached. But I actually responded to her piece. I had my choice words. And anyway, we ended up connecting. And she's going to be on the show tonight. Now, she seems like a really cool young lady. I mean, I think if I met her, we would probably, you know, get along very well. But just in terms of pure, on a philosophical realm, we do not see eye to eye. So it should be an interesting discussion and debate because, yeah, again, I will start off by saying my side of the coin is that I do not see anything wrong with a single heterosexual man approaching a woman that he's attracted to and wanting to hook up with her. I see nothing wrong with that. Why? Because she has the power to say no. She has some power to say simply, I'm not interested. Leave me alone. Then it's in the discussion. So anyway, I'll talk about that with her. We'll be going back and forth. You know, I'll be expressing my strong opinions, and I'm sure she'll be expressing her opinions. And, you know, we'll take it from there. Now, next week, I'm going to be interviewing a gentleman who, well, he wrote a book about sex addicts. Now, see, this is another issue, man. You know, I have my issues. I have my pet peeves. I don't like when people very loosely use that term, sex addict. Like some people will say, if you just love pussy, that means you're a sex addict. That, to me, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. If you like to fuck, you are not a sex addict. I'm here to tell you. Now, I don't have any kind of PhD or any type of credentials, but I'm here to tell you, if you like to fuck, you like to get your dick sucked, you are not a sex addict. Here's where you are a sex addict. And actually, I interviewed a woman on my other show, The Erotic Conversationalist, about this. Her name was Alexandra Katahakis. She said it best. An addict, when you get to the point where you are an addict, is when you are sacrificing important events and important responsibilities in order to do something. Like, for example, if you were skipping work to fuck somebody, then yeah, you would be classified as a sex addict. If you, your girlfriend had, one of her coworkers had a retirement party and she needed to go, but you talked her out of going to that party so you could stay home and fuck her. Yeah, that's a sex addict. Money that should be going to bills, you using it to buy porn or buy a prostitute or a call girl. That would be any of those type of things. That's sexual addiction. When you you're spending money that should be going to something important, instead you spend on something sexual related, or you skipping work or skipping an important activity to have sex. That's a sex addict. But other than that, I don't consider somebody a sex addict just because they like to fuck though. And anyway, so it should be an interesting discussion next week. I love all my listeners. And you know, most of my listeners are my archive podcast listeners, but I have those loyal and devoted live listeners that I have much love for because they appreciate me and I appreciate them for appreciating me. Now some of my regulars are not in my chat room. I see a number of guests in my chat room. But my one main man I do see in my chat room, Don B, give him a birthday shout out. He is birthday. Yay, birthday boy. Don B, one of the coolest young brothers you will meet. That's right. He's in my chat room. And like I said, I have a number of guests. Other shout outs will be my older brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. My younger cousins, J.P. Jones in Chicago, Arthur Ball in Maplewood, New Jersey, Christopher Curry in Detroit, Philip Pulliam, and his older brother, the major Seattle Seahawks fan, EVP3. His Seattle Seahawks are going to be going at it against the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl. Now, you know, this is a unique Super Bowl because this will be one of the first Super Bowls ever, if not the first, very first Super Bowl to be in a cold weather city. So, because, you know, usually they try to have the Super Bowl always in a fairly warm weather city like Miami, Los Angeles, somewhere in Texas. But, yeah, it's going to be in New York or New Jersey. I can't remember now. New York, New Jersey, one and two. But it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a cold weather Super Bowl. So it should be interesting. Who do you favor? Other shout-outs real quick would be the lovely ladies in my female supporters group on Facebook. Much love to them. The fellas in my Mode 1 Approach group. Much respect to them. The Super Bowl is coming up on Sunday. It should be a good game. You got the number one offense versus number one defense. Also, speaking of EVP3, he added some commentary recently about the Grammys. Now, you know there's a lot of controversy going on with the Grammys. First, props to all the people who won, you know, the various, you know, major awards. Daft Punk won a major award and a few other individuals as well as groups. Kendrick Lamar, he gave, a really powerful performance during the Grammys. Kendrick Lamar along with Imagine Dragons, they were excellent. Now, anyway, getting to the minor controversy, I've been seeing a lot of discussion threads on Facebook and Twitter about Beyonce. A lot of people have problems with Beyonce coming out in what essentially looked like lingerie. Now, a lot of people's argument is if she was single, then, yeah, go ahead and wear that sexy stuff. But now that you're married and a mother to a daughter, a lot of people didn't feel like it was appropriate. Matter of fact, a United Kingdom newspaper just flat out called her a whore. I was like, ouch. They flat out called her a whore. I was like, wow. Hey, you know, my thing is this. When you're a grown-ass adult, you can do what you want to do. I'll just start off by saying that. When you're a grown-ass adult, you can do what you want to do. Now, that being said, I got to be real, and I'm not trying to pass judgment on Beyonce, but I would not want to see a video of my mother in lingerie at the Grammys with my father on stage with her. That would kind of like, that would make me feel kind of uncomfortable. I just got to put that out there. But, you know, hey, Beyonce is Beyonce. She's selling albums. Who am I to tell her how to dress? I see Dax Worm made it into my chat room. Dax Worm is in my chat room. I see Stop Whining and Start Winning is in my chat room. I agree with that username. Stop Whining and Start Winning is in my chat room, as well as a number of guests. Kevin Durant is doing really, man, he's on some kind of mission to prove. He might get MVP this year. Kevin Durant might get MVP this year. He's been playing some ball. He beat the Miami Heat the other night. Kobe doesn't want to play in an all-star game. They voted him in. He doesn't feel like he deserves to play. I agree, he doesn't deserve to play. And finally, Toronto Mayor Rob Ford defended Justin Bieber. Yeah, he said Justin Bieber, you know, people need to leave him alone and quit attacking him and getting all on his case. And, man, Justin Bieber is out of control, man. He's out of control. But, you know, hey, you know, he's like I said about Beyonce, hey, his record sales, you know, but, man, the dude is just in one of them phases where he just keep causing a bunch of shit. He's always in the middle of some drama. Man, yeah, he's Canadian. I was talking about Canada earlier. He's Canadian. My guest coming up is Canadian. I will introduce her after this intermission break. So, don't go anywhere. Oh, I see. Oh, I was giving shout-outs. Adrian is not in my chat room, but she's in my phone queue. So I want to make mention of her. Adrian, Diva 362636. She is in my phone queue. And as the conversation goes, I'm sure she might have a comment or a question. But anyway, I'm going to take a brief intermission break. And when I get back, I will introduce my guest. And we will get this discussion / debate started. Don't go anywhere.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So, what can I tell you? I'm excited. I'm standing backstage and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago, and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help them and help them and just keep it. And he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people, and he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
And I need to know what you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates.
I went up to her. I said, you got a talent for this rollerblading thing. And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, yes, I love to rollerblade. I said, well, to be quite frank with you, I didn't give a fuck about rollerblading. I said, your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex? And she was like, oh, my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses? I was like, is that a trick question?
Please visit www.mode1.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD. Are you an expert and or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at blogtalkradioadvertising@mode1.net. That's MODEONE.net. Don't wait. Do it now. Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network in the category of romance and self-help for dating and relationships. I see somebody else came in my chat room. Oh, The Conversations is in my chat room. The Conversations has joined me, and along with Dax Worm, Don B, Stop Whining and Start Winning, and a number of guests in my chat room. But my guest this evening was born in Halifax, Nova Scotia, but has been working in Toronto, Canada for the last couple years or so as a freelance writer and a social media coordinator. She studied at Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia, where she earned academic honors in both English and theater and drama. My guest can be seen as the character of Lisa in the award-winning Canadian film entitled Roaming. I want to see that film myself, about a guy who has autism. But he wants, you know, he wants an enjoyable love life and sex life. And so, hey, just because you're autistic don't mean you can't get some pussy. And she has been featured in a number of other independent films and Canadian television series. My guest for the evening is inspired by the scenic beauty of her East Coast home and is delighted to share her insights with people on the topics of yoga, health, wellness, and global changes under the scrutiny of the big city lights. She is a blog writer for the Huffington Post, and she is currently completing her first novel, a young adult fantasy entitled The Book of Cyrus, that is set to be released sometime later this year. And she wrote this particular blog piece where she was critical of the idea of single heterosexual men approaching women in public venues. And that's what we're going to discuss and debate, along with just a lot of things that are either directly or indirectly related to sexual harassment. So on behalf of the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and Upfront and Straightforward, listeners, give it up for Ms. Lauren Messervey.
Thank you.
How are you, Lauren?
I'm doing great. Just one correction, though. You were so close. It's Missouri. It's like Missouri, only with a V at the end.
Oh. Okay, wait.
I should have
okay,
told
say
you
it.
That.
Say it. Wait, how did I said Meservey? How do you say it?
Meservey.
Meservey. Ah,
okay.
Yeah, that's catchy. Meservey. Okay.
It's not bad, eh?
Gotcha. Okay. Well, welcome to Upfront and Straightforward. Got you on the hot seat tonight.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. And so, look, well, before I get into, like, the juicy stuff, let's get just a little bit of background. Let me ask you just off the bat, what's the greatest of for us Americans? You know, you guys are right next door, but we it's like we know you, but not necessarily. So give me two or three things that you would say that you love about Canadian life that is, say, better than maybe the United States or some other countries.
Interesting. Well, we're definitely very friendly people. I mean, the moment that all of my American friends come up here and they sort of experience our way of life, they always comment about how great we are, how cordial we are, how we're always willing to help our neighbor. And I think that that's a very wonderful, unique part of our country. We tend to be very informed about many political and social issues. There's a really great social consciousness in Canada, and everybody is fairly informed about the issues that are very prevalent in everyday life. And healthcare, we got a great healthcare system. I got to be honest with you. You guys have the president. You guys have the better leader, for sure. But we have a really fantastic healthcare system.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Matter of fact, I know a lot of Americans who will go up to Canada and get pharmaceuticals and whatnot.
Not surprised.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. When did you decide to pursue a career as an actress?
Acting was something that I had done since I was fairly young. And then when I was in my later teens, early 20s, I decided I wanted to be an actor / model. And as I'm a little on the short side, the modeling didn't work so well. But the acting did pretty well, and I did that for a few years until I decided that I really wanted to put all my focus into my writing.
Okay, and that leads me into my next question. What incident or series of events made you say to yourself, I want to start putting my thoughts and opinions on paper?
Well, it was the first thing that I liked doing when I was a child, actually. My parents told me that ever since I could write words, that was what I was doing consistently. It was what I was doing in class when I was supposed to be doing things like math or science or paying attention. And as I got older, I just realized that I have some good stories to tell. I have a really good way with words, and I thought that that could be a really good way of getting my thoughts and ideas out.
Okay.
Creative control, too.
And finally, before we move on to this juicy discussion, I'm very curious about this movie. I want to see it, Roaming. It's about a guy who's autistic, but he wants to date and stuff, right?
Yeah, it's an autistic fellow who falls in love with a very sweet girl, and just sort of the dynamics in their relationships and the relationships of the people around them. It's a really nice film that was done by a friend of mine in Nova Scotia, Michael Ray Fox. He's a fantastic guy, and it's definitely worth a look. I have my friend Corey and my friend Sarah are also in it. We all know each other in the scene, and we all support each other. So it would definitely be worth your time to take a look.
Okay. Now, finally, we're going to get to this blog piece of yours you wrote. Tell my listening audience, I read it, I'm sure, and I know already that a few of my listeners – read it, but some of them didn't. So kind of give them the gist of what you wrote about and what you have criticisms of.
Well, there were a few things that I wanted to look at in the article. The first thing, and I know you introduced this earlier, is how ludicrous it actually was that a six-year-old boy was accused of being a sexual predator for essentially doing what we all do when we're kids, and that's discover what it's like to be romantic or to discover the very beginnings of our sexual nature. Very innocent thing, something that wasn't unwarranted. The mother of the daughter actually said that the girl and the boy were very close. And because the school had objection to it, they labeled him as a sexual predator and he was suspended temporarily. Absolutely the most ridiculous thing I'd heard in a while and a little bit infuriating. On the same day, I read an article about a group of pickup artists in the Eaton Center who decided to do a group swarm of just picking up as many women as humanly possible. And a woman who felt concerned for her personal safety contacted the security of the Eaton Center, and the security essentially got rid of the entire swarm, nipped it in the bud. And I just thought it was really interesting that a little boy with no knowledge of sexuality or any form of sexual manipulation or, you know, how to approach women was labeled as someone who was, you know, a deviant sexually, when grown men who have a full knowledge of what they were doing and actually presented their case in a way that seemed threatening to other people weren't. It seemed like an odd correlation. I mean, both of them were different cases, but I didn't quite understand how that could happen, that, you know, you could call a boy a sexual predator, but you couldn't call a man a sexual predator. In what was perhaps, in your opinion and in the opinions of some of the listeners, something that was ridiculous, but still something that was around vaguely the same line. So it was just my take on the two situations and just my personal opinion of pickup artists, which, you know, obviously we don't see eye to eye, but that's the beauty of debate, isn't it?
Well, here's the thing. There's actually at least one aspect of your criticisms I'm in agreement with, and but there's one or two others that I'm in disagreement. I guess I got to ask you, are you familiar with me, what I do, and my books and everything, or no?
Yes, I've actually read some stuff, and I've been listening to your show, so I am familiar.
Okay, because where I separate my, like, I've never considered myself or categorized myself as a pickup artist, because, among other things, I feel like a pickup artist is a guy who approaches women and basically tries to bullshit them and give them the basically almost give them the impression that he's not trying to get in their pants when in actuality he is. Whereas,
I would totally agree with that.
Yeah. So whereas I'm more of a in your face approach. I believe if you want to fuck a woman, that you approach a woman and you let her know you want to fuck her, and she either says yes or no. So that was the gist of my book, my first book, Mo 1. Is, and interesting enough, and I've told this story many times, but one of the things that contributed to me writing Mo 1 was complaints from women, because a lot of women I knew in college would be critical of men who were giving them the impression that they wanted a long-term, emotionally profound boyfriend-girlfriend type relationship. And then after they would have sex with the women X number of days, X number of weeks, they would just dump the women. And a lot of these women would come to me like, you know, Alan, why do men do that? Why do they make you feel like they care for you when they really don't? I was like, because they never wanted to date you in the first place. They just wanted to fuck. And then a lot of them would say, well, why don't they just say that? So I start on this mission of wanting to be upfront and straightforwardly honest, which, of course, is where the title of my show comes from, with women about the fact that I just wanted casual sex. And that's how you could say Mo 1 was born. So anyway, I had read where you were critical of pickup artists' manipulative tactics. So in that specific area, we're on the same page. Where we differ is you have expressed that you essentially feel like a single heterosexual man approaching women in, say, a shopping mall could arguably be representative of sexual harassment. If that is the truth, why do you feel like that's representative of sexual harassment?
It depends on the case. Like when you say to me that you don't find anything wrong with a single male approaching a single woman, I agree with you. There's nothing wrong with that. It's when the man is intentionally manipulative towards the goal of sexuality. That is a problem. And the problem with a lot of these men, and I agree that you're not necessarily in this, because what you're doing is you're trying to help people, you know, connect with that sexual nature. That's a different thing. But the ones that are intentionally manipulating, what they don't know is the women frequently know what they're doing. I've been approached by these pickup artists before, and within about 30 seconds of the conversation, I just want them to, you know, go off and do whatever, just go talk to somebody else. I have things to do. I find it irritating. But when, in terms of the sexual harassment, the actual definition in the court of law of sexual harassment is the bullying or coercion of a sexual nature or the unwelcome or inappropriate premise of rewards in exchange for sexual favors or conversation. So if a woman is approached and she feels as though she is being threatened in that moment, either verbally or physically, towards a sexual means, she can actually charge that man. So if a pickup artist approaches a woman and if he's not what you're saying, quite on the sleazy side, and if he makes her feel uncomfortable, she can actually have him charged. At least in Canada.
Okay, well, give me, you know, there's been some controversy about it here in the States, too. Okay, well, let me ask you, have you had a situation where a man approached you, and to one degree or another, you felt physically threatened?
I've had a few, yes.
Give me an example of what he said, what he did that made you feel physically threatened.
It was actually in the Eaton Center. In the summer, I had a man approach me and, you know, say, you know, I think you're really beautiful. Like, where do you come from? Just asking me a bunch of questions. Already knew what he was going to do. And then he said, I'd really like to take you out for a drink. And he was standing physically quite close to me to the point that I was being a little bit backed up against the wall. And I was like, okay, this man is in my personal space right now. Clearly, it's more of a hunter-predator situation than it is man-woman situation. So that, in my opinion, is a physical threat. And I think that it would be very difficult to argue that it wasn't. If the person is backing you physically into a corner, you know, that's pretty indicative.
Well, I have mixed feelings on that. Yeah, I would agree that, yeah, if a guy is intentionally kind of backing you into somewhere, like a corner of a room, then, yeah, I would generally agree that that's probably inappropriate. But as far as just the whole in your space thing, that's actually what I teach. When I do one-on-one coaching with guys, I actually tell guys, I say, body language experts consider that everybody has a 3-foot radius that is considered their space. And what I tell guys to do is basically I say, get in that woman's space. And what I say is that a woman's going to do one of three things when you get in her space. If she's not interested or something about you makes her feel uncomfortable, she's either going to lean back or step back. And that's when I say at that point, that's when you should either end the conversation or make sure that it's a very tame, you know, just PG-type conversation.
And you know what? I have to tell you, that's smart. Okay. That is a smart way of coaching that.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, and the second response I say is that they will kind of maintain maybe like a foot to a foot and a half and as much as 2-foot space. They don't per se make a concerted effort to move away, but they don't move close either. They more or less stationary. I say that's what that represents. What I feel is kind of a woman could go either way. She's 50% could be interested in you, 50% chance she's not. She wants to learn more about you. She wants to listen to more of your conversation to determine. And then what I basically consider a green light is when either one of two things happens is when you get a woman's space and within the first 2 or 3 minutes of talking to her, either she moves closer to you or she allows you to move close enough to the point where you can now talk to her in a half whisper tone in her left ear. That's what I consider a green light. Like if I'm talking to a woman and she gives me she allows me to talk to her in her left ear, then my voice is going to drop, and I'm going to say whatever the fuck I feel like saying. I'm just going to be real. Yeah, that's when I get, like, X-rated and say just whatever the fuck is on my mind. Because I look at that as a body language sign that a woman is welcoming your attention. So
I'm about 90% sure that some of the men who have approached me in the city have either listened to your show, read your books, or follow you very closely, because that body language thing was tried on me. Definitely. And it's funny, yeah.
Yeah, so because, whenever that term is even used, it makes me just a little riled up. Here's the problem I have with the whole notion of sexual harassment, whether it's within the workplace or you're talking about pickup artists at a shopping mall. Harassment by itself represents repeated unwanted advances. So if I approach you and let you know I want to date you or fuck you, and you say, Alan, you know, with all due respect, I'm just not interested. And instead of just ending the conversation and leaving you alone, I keep talking to you and I keep giving another pitch. That would be harassment, because you already told me, you know, no, I'm not interested. So if I was to keep talking, keep being persistent, then I would agree if somebody was to accuse me of harassment. But if I'm approaching a woman one time, and she has the power to say, no, I'm not interested, please leave me alone, or something to that effect, I do not consider that harassment. But some women do.
I understand that, and I do understand your point in that regard. However, the court of law would disagree with you. It can be an isolated incident, and it can be a very quick incident, and it can be something in which the woman says no, and no is heard. If that woman feels threatened, and that comes down to the woman's personal safety, and if she can properly argue and give witnesses to that, it's still sexual harassment.
Okay, I got some people in my phone queue. I actually have a lot of people in my phone queue, but only a few of them look like they want to say something. If you're in my phone queue and you want to ask a question or make a comment, you have to press the number 1. That lets me know that you have something to say. Otherwise, I'm assume that you're just in the phone queue listening. So I see about 2/3 of people in my phone queue are just listening, but I got some other people that do want to say something. I'll start with, I know who this is, 843. 843, this is my man T. Smitty. T. Smitty, what's happening, man?
Man, I'm good, man. The weather in Phoenix is lovely today. How y'all doing?
Oh, man, you know I hate your ass, man. Talking about that warm weather. Hang your ass. Okay, so you've been listening so far. Anything that provokes a comment from you, question from you, both?
All right, I'm going to say this, and women are not going to like what I'm going to say.
That's your MO.
Yeah, I know. We don't have these problems with harassment on the street and stuff if the woman wants to fuck that guy. Let's just be honest here. If she's not interested in him, he could be in a world of hurt. But the problem is that if the woman can say no and walks away and it's still harassment, wouldn't that make it so a lot of guys don't want to talk, don't even want to risk it by approaching women on the street? And my last thing is, it seems like that, and I'm not starting to guess right now, that's why I heard women say this, talking about public places, depending on the mood. So can you women hold up a sign saying when y'all ready to, you know, that's just what I want to know, because if we have to approach a woman, which I had no problem doing, we just got to go for it. There are no neon signs saying, hey, I'm ready to talk. I'm in a good mood. I think you're hot. You know, I don't see those things. But I do see that those men, you talking about what the man may grab the woman by her arm, hadn't even talked to her. Now, I give women that. But just regular conversation, a man who gets sexual harassment, I can't see how that goes fly.
Well, I don't know. It depends on the conversation. If the conversation verges on being, we'll say, extremely sleazy, and the woman is clearly giving you hints. Like as Alan was saying, his body language gauge is really smart. If that woman's moving away and that guy's still trying to engage in that conversation, that's a problem. But I understand that it is difficult for men because there are a lot of women that, you know, are attractive or they're attracted to and they want to approach, and you just don't know when a woman's going to bite your head off. It's difficult, and men have my sympathy for that, trust me. But it depends on how you talk to the woman. Like, you got to be there with her, you got to be authentic, and you at least have to be honest. Honest doesn't need to be rude.
Okay, what's an example of rude? Yeah. What would be your definition of rude? Because, see, there's some women who...
If a guy
came
up to me and told me that he wanted to fuck me, I would want to kick him in the nuts immediately, or call the police, or tell him to go fuck himself. That would be my reaction.
So you would want to physically assault a man because he told you he wanted to fuck you?
Hey, I'm not doing it. I'm just saying I might want to.
But,
okay, now, going back to what I described to you about what I teach, so you're telling me, now I would understand it, say, if I approached you and you immediately start backing up and then I still said I want to fuck you. But let's say we're talking and you let me talk to you in your left ear. You telling me you still turned off by a guy telling you he wants to fuck you.
Oh, you would never get to that position. If you did get to that point with the woman and she was allowing that and then afterwards, that's not great on the woman's part. But if you didn't get to that point, yeah, you can't quite cross the rude boundary then. But if you're given the green light to that point to whisper in your ear, well, I think that then all bets are off.
But and also, here's what I've experienced, and this is kind of what contributed to my, dare I say it, my legend, is that if you were to read my books, you would know I put women into four categories: reciprocators, rejectors, pretenders, and time wasters. And to give the gist of each, two of them are pretty self-explanatory. A reciprocator would be, I approach you, I let you know I want to fuck you, and you say, hey, I want to fuck you too. We go off and fuck. Rejector, I approach you and let you know I want to fuck you. You say, hey, I'm not interested. I call those the two straightforward types, the two straightforward non-manipulative types, and I respect both of those types. Now, the two trickier types is, first is what I call a pretender. A pretender is a woman that deep down is interested in you, but she doesn't want to be perceived as an easy lay, a slut, or a hoe. So she will give you kind of some back talk, shit talk, for the first 5 to 10 minutes or so of the conversation. Like, I've had women, and people know me, know these stories. I'm not going to go on all my little stories I have, and I have a number of them. But with a pretender, I've had situations with a pretender where a woman, say I approach a woman at 10 o'clock, from 10 to 10:10 or 10 to 10:15, that woman did everything short of cursing me out. But yet, at 10:30, 10:45, 11 o'clock, me and that same woman was fucking. So that's why it's not strange to me. I understand the psychology. So from my perspective, it's actually not strange because most of the women themselves have even told me, like, when I fuck these women, I'll usually ask them, like, I'll say, why did you give me a hard time? Why did you act like a bitch when I first approached you? And they'll giggle and say, oh, I had to, because I was raised by my parents to present myself as a good girl, so I didn't want you to think I was just this quick, easy slut, but I knew from the time you started talking to me. Matter of fact, if you were on the line, you probably heard my commercial where this guy named Sasha Degame, who's actually from Canada, did this event called the Direct Dating Summit. We've done it in a number of cities, and one of them was London. And my intermission break, I have an excerpt from when I was in London, and I mentioned this story where when I lived in L.A., I met this Japanese woman at Venice Beach. She's a classic example of this. She was rollerblading, and I approached her, and initially I talked about rollerblading. Then I basically told her, I said, okay, I was being full of shit. Really, I just came up to you because you had a nice ass, and I want to hook up with you. She started going off on me. My roommate was actually a witness at the time. She, like, let me have it. I mean, it wasn't super-duper harsh, but she was basically like, ah, hey, you're an asshole. You're a jerk. I can't believe you come out to the beach just to look at women's asses. I was like, what else do a man come to the beach for? Anyway, she gave me a hard time, but I gave her my card. I said, I'm confident you are going to contact me. And she kind of gave me a look like, yeah, whatever. But the first thing that let me know I was in there was she took the card. If she genuinely wasn't interested, she would have either handed me my card back or tore it up in my face. But she took my card.
So did you hook up with her?
Yeah, that was on a Saturday. That next Thursday, she ended up calling me. And we talked. And at first she tried to act like she wasn't ready to give up the pussy. But I basically was like, you know, I don't want to hook up with you unless we fucking. And anyway, long story short, she gave in. And that Friday, she came over my place. And my ex-roommate at the time, he tripped out. He was like, because he came over there that Saturday morning. And she came out of my bedroom. And he basically had to look like, wasn't that the woman who was just going off on you in Venice Beach? And anyway, all that to say that when a woman's a pretender, that's what happens. So that's why I don't look at all negative reactions on face value, because I've had so many of those type of scenarios. That's what's going to happen with a pretender, is they're going to always try to convince you that they're a prude and that they're not into casual sex or just flat out not interested in you, period. But either hours later, days later, weeks later, they end up giving you the pussy. And then the final category of the four is what I call a time waster. Time waster is almost the reverse of a pretender. That's a woman who will initially be very friendly and flirtatious towards you and more or less give you the misleading impression that she does have some degree of romantic or sexual interest in you. But really, she just wants to use you for flattering attention, entertaining conversation, wining and dining, free meals, that type of thing. And so she's going to prove to be full of shit. Now, T. Smitty, while I got you on the line, with you listening to my, you were already pretty familiar with my four categories. Let me ask you, have you had a few instances with a woman who was a pretender type where a woman initially gave you a negative reaction and at some point later you ended up fucking her?
Yep, the woman I'm dating now. It was like, I do, you know, sometimes you just can't help when you meet a woman. Uh-huh. And, like, she broke up with this guy. And she told Tobias, I'm not really trying to date right now. I said, who said anything about dating? I just want to have a drink with you and enjoy some company. And, you know, get to know each other. You know? And I had to let her know that I'm not putting no pressure on you. But I did tell her, yeah, I think you're sexy. And, yeah, I will fuck you. If a man says he doesn't, he's lying to you. Couple weeks later, we're fucking, you know, and we're dating. But see, you know, she also said about the whole good girl thing, and I told her. I said, to be honest, I said, nowadays, most women are taking some dick. Let's just be honest here. And I said, we don't care. Like, we're not saying you got to be the Houston 600. We're not saying that. But we know what the deal is most of the time. We know that woman may have fucked the asshole in the first week. We already know how that stuff is. You ain't got to play the game with them. Well, most of us know the game.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you both a question?
Go ahead.
All right. Do you think sometimes that maybe, because let's just say for the sake of interest, that women are not in fact magical unicorn beings that can be lumped into categories and do require special attention and ideas in order to be stimulated. Let's just pretend that for a moment.
Okay.
Do you think you're making this a little bit too simple? Do you think that, in fact, there are some women that don't fall into those categories? For example, I don't. I wouldn't put myself in any of those categories. And I think, Alan, from our conversation tonight and from the correspondences that we've had, that you know that as well. What would you do in specific situations like that? Is that something that you walk away from, or is that
wait. I'm going to challenge you on that. You're telling me
okay.
that you've never when a guy has approached you and let you know that he has some romantic interest in you or sexual interest in you, you saying you've never been a reciprocator, a rejecter, a pretender, or a time waster?
No, I tend to not even let people stop me. If a man approaches me in the street, I mean, I'm usually out doing something that I need to get done right away, and I won't even stop the engagement.
Well, to me, then that's a rejecter. To me, as far as I'm concerned, that's a rejecter.
How could it be a rejecter,
you're avoiding
though, if there's no
somebody,
initial contact?
If you're avoiding that man approaching you, period, you're essentially a rejecter, at least in my book. That would be a rejecter. So let me ask you about the situations where you didn't just run off, where you either stood there or sit there and a guy was conversing with you and he let you know in one way or another that he either wanted to date you or have casual sex with you. Give me an example of a response that would not fall into reciprocation, rejection, pretending, or time wasting.
Well, I wasn't really listening, so I don't think that I can really comment on either four. I mean, I guess that would probably put into time waste. But I'm very good at tuning things out that I find annoying. It's just a natural gift that I have.
You just contradicted. You tried to say that you don't fall into those four categories, and now you're saying you didn't even listen to the four categories.
It's not so much that anybody – I mean, you can argue that anybody would fall into any part of the four categories, but I think that the four categories are too simplistic. I think that there are a lot of things with women that – for example, we'll talk about the sexual harassment for a second. Say you run into a woman, you know, you approach her, she's, you know, very afraid. She considers it sexual harassment, just for the sake of argument. You don't know what that woman has been through. You don't know how she's reacted like that. That woman could have gotten sexually assaulted that day, and you don't know. Like, it's just, you're not accounting for variables. If you were doing math right now, you wouldn't be doing all of the math. You would be leaving some variables vacant. You know what I mean? There's more that needs to be accounted for, despite being able to categorize certain types of women. I mean, I can't categorize men. I'm sorry. I've never really done casual sex. I've never been approached by a man and gone out with him by someone just on the street. I tend to know the people who I've been with for an extended period of time. And when it comes to men and when it comes to me saying, okay, what men are within these categories, how would you specify this? I can't do that because every man is different, and it's the same with every single woman, and I really wish that men would see that. I really wish that women would see that. I wish everyone would see that they're just human and that we all have specific needs that can't be categorized.
Well, that was all nice and eloquent and whatever, but bottom line is, all four of my categories are very valid categories. Because the bottom line, when somebody expresses a desire to do anything with you, it don't even have to be sex. It could be eating with you, go bowling with you, whatever. There's only so many reactions you can. It ain't like you can have 100 different reactions. You either gonna have a direct yes, I want to do that reaction, a direct no, I want to do that, don't want to do that reaction, or what I, in the case of the pretender or the time waster, what I call a slow yes or a slow no. Matter of fact, I wrote an article about that. That's how I described it in the article. Instead of calling it reciprocator, rejector, pretender, and time waster, I said the four women that all men are going to interact with are women who are quick yeses, quick nos, slow yeses, and slow nos. And the only woman before you who's actually even attempted to argue with those categories was this guest by the name of Kezia Noble. Does that ring any bells with you?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, because speaking of pickup artists and dating coaches, she's actually one of the handful of female. She's a woman from London who teaches men to be pickup artists and that type of
thing.
She's
good.
And when I interviewed her on this show, that's where we first differed, because she agreed with the reciprocator, rejector, and pretender, but she argued with time waster. She said she felt like what I called a time waster was just a more challenging version of a pretender. And I was like, no, that's not true. And I ended up asking some questions and led her to reluctantly acknowledge it as a time waster. Because if there was no such thing as a time waster, then that would be like saying that every woman who engages in lengthy conversations with men potentially want to fuck them, and I know that's not the truth. There's many women who will engage in a entertaining conversation with a guy for a half hour, 45 minutes, hour, but that don't mean they want to fuck him. Anyway, I still had, what's his name's Mike. I don't want to keep his mic active. Any final comments or any further questions you have, T-Smitty?
Oh, I was going to say first, thanks for the call and the conversation, but also I'm thinking, damn, when do y'all want to talk to men, you know, because I understand, like, sometimes women are busy and stuff, and sometimes that guy may not know that situation, but I'm going to be honest, a lot of times guys just don't care, you know, they don't want to admit it.
A lot of times women don't care either.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So my point is that I know sometimes a certain lady may be busy or something like that. Hell, the guy may not know that. He just see a pretty woman want to talk to her. But then I hear a lot of those same women saying, well, how come no guys want to approach me? I'm like, well, you said you're not you per se, but I'm telling women I know, well, you say you're too busy when guys are talking to you and stuff. Sometimes I think women kind of have one of both ways. Well, thanks for taking my call, though, guys.
Oh, no problem. Cool. Always, T-Smitty. Much love to you, brother.
Have a good night.
See, you bring up an interesting – you throw something else in there. You're basically saying that you're not a fan, and correct me if I'm misinterpreting your comment, but you said you don't even engage. You've never engaged in casual sex with a man.
You know what? I don't want to – it's actually what you're saying about the final category. Please remind me of what the final category is. It's
time waster.
Time waster, right. I don't like to waste people's time as much as I don't like my time being wasted. So if a man, and I can tell when someone's going to approach me, you know, I don't want to be that person who's going to just toy with him. It's just, it's a pain in the ass for him, honestly. It's not fair. So that's why I don't engage, because I can pretty much tell that I'm not going to be interested. You're not going to usually, I mean, like 95% of the time, you're not going to meet the man of your dreams walking down a sidewalk. It happens sometimes, but usually the circumstances are a little bit more complicated. And as I am not the type of person who enjoys casual sex or casual relationships, and just a personal thing, I enjoy more meaningful relationships, sexually and romantically. It's just a big, fat waste of everyone's time if I engage.
Oh, I agree with you. I actually applaud you, because you're essentially saying I would prefer to be a rejecter rather than a time waster, and that's how I feel all women should be. I have total respect for rejectors.
I think time wasters are mean. It's just mean. You know what I mean? It's just an awful thing to do. I mean, women hate – I've heard so many women – complain and say, oh my God, well, this guy, he was just wasting my time. He was just tugging on my heartstrings. But it's not okay when women do that to men either. And that's the thing that we need to understand. We know, I know that you were talking a bit in the day about feminism. And that's where I have a big problem with modern feminism. There's this idea that women are now more equal than men, which isn't true. We're all on the same playing field, and we need to maintain it. So it's not – it's equally as in okay. I just made a word, in okay. You're free to use it anytime you want. It's equally that for a woman to treat a man that way than a man to treat a woman that way. And we need to keep that in mind.
Well, I'm glad you're very objective-minded and acknowledge the two-way street, because how I've busted a lot of women out, and a lot of women will say, you know, I don't want just random guys approaching me, you know, on the street that I don't know, and particularly if they're looking for sex. But then I'll say, well, how come I'll show them a video or just talk about instances where I've seen, like, a male celebrity, be at a nightclub or maybe he's performing at a concert, and women would be throwing themselves in. I'm like, what do you call that? What do you fucking call that? You're a random woman. You're basically throwing yourself at a guy, but yet you don't see anything wrong. Well, they always say, well, that's different. I mean, you know, it's a celebrity. No, it ain't different. It's a man who doesn't fucking know you, and you're assuming that male celebrity is going to have a positive and reciprocal reaction to your advances. But you don't know
that. that's terrible too. And this is another thing that people need to know. Celebrities are people, male or female. They put their pants on one leg at a time, just like everybody else, right? So it's just as bad. You're right. You know, if you're throwing yourself at a guy, it doesn't matter, you know, how much money he makes or how much in the public eye he is. It's still gross. And it's, to me, that's even more annoying because you're specifically going after this man because of his money, his fame, and his popularity. I mean, it would go exactly the same way for a man if he was going after a female celebrity. It's the exact same thing. It's just, it's gross. Why are you doing that? I mean, it just makes things so complicated and so, and it makes the person who's doing it just look like an idiot. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Well, let me get another call. Area code 347. 347, you're now upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your first name?
Mode One, baby. Hey, this is Joe.
Joe, what's happening, Joe?
Hey, I'm in New York freezing my balls off right now. But Lauren, your articles are very interesting, thought-provoking.
Thank you.
So I respect you for that. Also, I do
Thank
yoga,
you.
So I read your article on that. Props for you for doing yoga. I think it's a pretty good workout. And you know, it's a great workout, and I look at, you know, 15 beautiful asses for an hour because half the time I'm the only guy there. So I was ready to come in.
We understand.
So I was ready to come in and hate on you and be like, oh, this is some bullshit. You know, men should be able to say whatever they want. This isn't, you know, sexual harassment. But to be honest, if I was the owner of that mall in Toronto where these pickup artists are running around, and I'm saying this as you know, a businessman, I would, you know, kick out, you know, those I'll kick out all of them because, you know, they're creeping out the women who are buying all the shit I'm selling. So, you know, if you're a chick and you have three or four guys coming up to you all with the same line, saying the same shit, touch you and quote-unquote escalate, you know, you got to wonder what the fuck is going on. And if women are leaving the mall because of that, I'll be fucking furious if these guys are in my stores. So, you know, a little background, you know, I joined a pickup group in New York, and these guys, if you get to know them, they're all young guys in their 20s who are just, you know, all fucking angry and weird. Every single one of them I met has had, you know, past, no, it's not funny. It's not funny. It's serious. It's, they've, you know, they've had past emotional issues, whether it's depression or they're just really negative. And I'm not, you know, really friends with any of these guys because they're kind of fucked up. But, and this isn't like a big social problem or anything, but it is a problem. There's, you know, a sucker born every day. You know, these young guys are coming up. They're frustrated because when you're young, you don't know shit. You don't know what to do. And they turn to this pickup stuff online because they, you know, find it through a Google search. And they're like, oh, man, these guys are talking to women. I want to talk to women, too. And it's like, it's basically nerds selling, you know, chick manuals to other nerds. And these guys are going from nerds to creeps.
Joe, are you familiar with my books?
Yeah. Alan, I've read all your books. I know.
Is this Joe from my mom?
Alan, you're a different case, though. We need to, I think what Joe's trying to say here is you are a different case. The pickup artists who were in the Eaton Center were not the type of pickup artists that you're speaking of. These are men who, as Joe is kind of illustrating, have this sort of deep-seated anger, and in turn, it kind of turns on to the opposite sex.
Well, I kind of two-thirds am understanding where Joe's coming from, but there's at least a partial disagreement on my behalf because he's still, though, saying that he thinks it's inappropriate for men to approach women in venues, and Joe, if you know some of my backstories, I got my dick sucked in a grocery store.
Jesus,
I mean, really?
That happened.
I got my dick sucked in a grocery store by a woman that I approached.
Alan, have a porno made about you now. Lots of money for you. Just all of these stories.
Well, you're joking about it. That is actually, I don't want to go on a segue, but that's the incident that actually ultimately led to Mode One becoming a book, because my brother was with me, and he didn't actually see me get my dick sucked in the store. He saw the part two, because what happened, she started sucking my dick in the store, then we got caught by a stock boy, and she gave me the keys to a car, and I went in her car, and my brother saw her, you know, get in the car, and he saw her head drop in my lap and start sucking my dick, and that was literally the night Well, my brother said, dude, you need to put this on paper, bro. He said, dude, if you get results like that.
Call James Dean right now. Call James Dean right now and sell the rights to that film. You would make a killing. Are you joking?
Alan,
that's the best idea ever.
Alan, that didn't happen at 4 p.m. in when you're like shopping for clothes, though, right? Like that was probably at night.
No, it was it was actually it was late at night. It was a 24-hour grocery store that's actually still in Bloomington, Indiana. It's called Kroger's, and it was about 1:30, 2 in the morning.
He's lying. He went into the Gap at 2 p.m.
Yeah.
And
there's
been a handful of public places that. Not only did I approach one, but they actually ended up, like, the closest I actually ended up or almost came to get in trouble, speaking of getting my dick sucked, I met a woman in LAX Airport. She led me to a stairwell and started sucking my dick, and my dumb ass didn't realize that, Alan, there's cameras in airports. And sure enough, about 3 to 5 minutes after she's into sucking my dick, these two security guys come, and they wanted to, they actually wanted to throw us in jail, but the woman who sucked my dick, she was a great talker. She just started really sass-talking them out of it, and they basically ended up saying, okay, we're going to let you guys off with a warning. But anyway, my stories aside, I guess my disagreement is, if a guy is obviously, you know, for lack of a better word, some kind of weirdo, creepy weirdo, then, yeah, nobody would want a creepy weirdo approaching him. But I'm talking about for a normal, healthy, emotionally stable guy, I don't see anything wrong with a guy approaching a woman and let her know he's attracted to her and interested in connecting. Now, where I do draw the line, you did, Joe, mention something about touching. Are you familiar, Joe, with this guy who got into a lot of controversy named Ken Hoinsky?
No, I don't.
I actually invited him on the show, and he said he wanted to come, and then he just kind of went AWOL on me. But anyway, if you were to Google him, he got into a lot of controversy on this site called Kickstarter, which is where you, like, a crowdfunding.
Oh, I did see that.
He was raising money for a book tour he wanted to do, and he raised quite a bit of money. So he definitely has some fans. But anyway, he's basically a pickup artist, dating coach. And what he actually encourages, I encourage men to be very verbally straightforward and even verbally provocative, but I never encourage men to be physically, unless that woman is giving him definite, what I call green light reactions. But Hoinsky, he believes you should just go up to women and, like, just grab them and, in some instances, pick them up off their feet. And I was like, oh, shit, man, he's asking for
that. That would go
over
very
shit.
Badly, yeah.
Yeah, Kickstarter, Kickstarter actually banned all dating products.
Yeah, I was pissed at him because I wanted to do something on Kickstarter, and they were like, no, if you're a dating coach or any type of self-improvement guru, you cannot get on Kickstarter. I was like, that fucking Hoinsky. But anyway, so yeah, that's where I do draw the line, but I just feel like there's nothing wrong in general with a man approaching a woman, because I feel like the woman, again, simply has the power to say, yes, I'm interested, or no, I'm not.
Right.
No, if you're being good about it, if you're being polite, I think that we're all in agreement that that's fine.
Yeah, I kind of reluctantly agree with the use of the term polite, because again, I'm not always what most people would call polite. I'm provocative a lot of times. I wouldn't say I'm
authentic.
Just blatantly
rude. Let's
use
the word authentic.
Yeah. Well, I do. I use that word quite frankly. Yeah, I'm very authentic and provocative. Anyway, Joe, any further comments or questions?
Yeah, I would say, like, you know, anybody can say anything they want. I'm totally cool with that. Like, I don't really care if anyone's offended by what you say. I don't care if a woman's offended. But if it's happening in a mall and the mall's worried about it, you know, they have the right to kick you the fuck out, you know? If it's in a public place, then it's cool. But if it's in a mall, it's in... It depends on, like, where it's happening and then what's happening. So obviously, you know, touching is you know, worse than just saying something. But if it's
here's what I believe they should do then. If you're gonna go that route, then that particular shopping mall or any shopping mall that has a problem with it, they should post a sign saying, in this mall, we do not allow men to approach women that they are not personally acquainted with. Put that up in a conspicuous, seriously. They should put that up, some kind of sign that says that. Because otherwise, you know, you're being wishy-washy. You know, if you're saying,
well, in a town run by Rob Ford, that's not going to happen.
That's a good point.
Or they could just put up a sign that says, you know, no pickup swarms, no pickup organizations. And
how about
it would
don't
be
a douchebag? How's that? Put up a sign that says, don't be a douchebag. I think that just covers everything that we've just discussed.
Well, yeah, yeah. Okay, Joe, well, I appreciate you calling in, man. Thank you for listening. And thank you for before I let you go,
thank
man,
you,
give me an enthusiastic Mo One.
Mo One.
Mo One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo One.
Up front, straight forward.
Mo One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo One.
Mo
Mo
Mo One.
Matter of fact, I'm going to take an intermission break, but when I get back, I see some more callers in my phone queue, and I'm going to have more questions myself. We might end up, if Lauren is game for it, going past the 2-hour mark, just like we did last week. I might go at least a little bit past the 2-hour mark. Again, it depends on if she's down for it, because this is already a hot discussion. I see more callers. As a matter of fact, as I go to this intermission break, Lauren, I want you to give me either your most enthusiastic or your most seductive Mo One.
All right. Mo One.
Mo One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo One.
Up front, straight forward.
Mo One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo
Mo One.
Listeners, I'll be right back.
Mo One.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Kunahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
So I'm getting treated for my sex with me.
This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Brandy L. Davis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Nikki Ransom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310. 310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
What's going on, fellas?
Thanks for tuning in. It's nice to see you all again, so.
If you found this page, I'm guessing at least on some level you'd like more success.
Seducing sexy ladies. Here's the deal.
My name's Sasha. Hello. And I like women.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
This website has tons of resources to help you guys get that success that you want. It's all there for you. The articles, the videos, my blog with lots of adventures and tips, it's all there for you guys.
Let's make the magic happen.
If you're interested in some more intense training, take one of my boot camps. They are fucking good. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm doing boot camps all around the world, so I might be coming to your city.
I would love to come over there and teach you this stuff because it's awesome! And you learn how to meet tons of hot girls.
If you're in London, this is the guy. He's going to take good care of you.
He's really present in the moment. He's really good. He hooks up with tons of girls. Good teacher and just somebody you want to hang out with and learn from.
Oh, so many names.
It's my first name and my sister.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, I will see you.
You will?
Soon. Ryan.
Ryan. Me too.
Over the last few years, I've dedicated my life to getting good in a sort of fun and natural way of meeting women in the daytime.
What are you doing actually in your free time? What's your goal?
I meet beautiful girls on the streets. You know, chap girls on the street. Sound test? Sound test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sexy man. Hi. Can I get a little fist action? We're filming. I just want a little fist. Just come on. You know you want to. You know you want to fist me right now. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, check out the bootcamp page if you're interested in that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to you. So please.
Sasha at sashapway.com. Thanks for coming to the site and...
Stop being a fucking... come on, people. She's there in front of you. That's the only indicator of interest you need. She's there. You're there. Go for it.
Please pay a visit to www.sashapua.com.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my discussion about the notion of men approaching women in public venues. Is this representative of sexual harassment? With guest Lauren Messervey on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on Blog Talk Radio in the category of romance and self-help for dating and relationships. And if you just tuned in, what we're talking about tonight, this is technically the second time I've discussed this subject in the last 12 months. We're talking about, is approach a single heterosexual man approaching women in public venues, is that inappropriate? Is it wrong? Is it representative of some form of sexual harassment? That's the discussion and debate tonight. And my guest, you heard me say on the intermission, Meservey, but it's actually Meservey. Lauren Meservey is my guest tonight, and we've been discussing this most interesting and controversial topic. Let me give a few shout-outs in my chat room. I see 63434 in my chat room. I see Dax Worm in my chat room. My man Don B is still in my chat room. I got El Rujo in my chat room. I got a number of guests in my chat room. I got None731 in my chat room. I got The Conversations in my chat room. And I got Stop Whining and Start Winning in my chat room. So, Lauren, let me ask you a very provocatively straightforward question.
Okay.
Have you ever had a man meet you, whether it was a house party, nightclub, whatever, and by the end of that first conversation, he had your pussy wet?
Nope.
Never ever?
Nope. I have to get to know the person before I'm attracted to them.
So wait a minute. You're telling me that not only do you, on an intellectual level, because a lot of women say that they want to, quote-unquote, get to know a woman, but you're telling me that even your pussy along with your mind says, hey, I'm not going to get wet until I get to know you.
No, I'm not a goddamn robot. Of course not. Unless you're like Michael Fassbender, I really don't think you have a shot.
Okay. Well, then let me ask you. If you were in a room with Michael Fassbender and he saw you and say he wanted to just fuck you silly, how would you want him to approach you and let you know that he wanted to fuck you silly?
He could really just say any of the words. It doesn't matter. He could say the word the. That would be fine. He could speak in full sentences. It doesn't really matter. But I'm going to be honest with you, Alan. If Michael Fassbender approached you in a room and said that he wanted to get down with you, you would do it because Fassbender is a boss.
No, he ain't that much of a boss.
Oh, man, he's the man. Everybody says he's the man. But, I mean, in all seriousness, like if it was some guy, pretty much anybody, who approached me at a party, it's just that doesn't happen for me. And it's true. You know, I've actually met men who are the exact same way. They need an intellectual and emotional connection in order to have sexual arousal. It's just some people are more connected to that part of themselves than others.
I guess,
Alan, I'm just the magical unicorn right now.
Yeah, I guess you are. You're the magical unicorn because I'm going to just say what my experience of finding this, again, relates to the category of the pretender. There are a lot of women who, again, intellectually will say all the shit you just said, but most of the time their pussy is not in agreement with that because that's a hormonal reaction. It's just like, for example, I could be in a room with a woman that I think personality-wise is a complete bitch, but honestly, if she looked like she got a nice round ass, nice tits, and she's just something sexy about her, more than likely she's going to be able to get my dick hard. Even though intellectually I might be saying, dude, don't fuck her, she's a bitch. But my dick would be like, dude, she is fuckable. I want to fuck her. So
In terms of arousal, though, it is different with men and women. I don't know if you've ever watched Louis C.K., but he has a really fine bit when he talks about what women are like during sex and what men are like. And I know that before I said that, you know, women and men are essentially the same thing, but let's suspend that belief for a second. And he talks about, you know, how a woman can decide in the middle of sex she doesn't want to have sex anymore. And that's not an option for men. In terms of arousal, it seems to be a fairly similar situation.
Well, this is what I find. Of course, we have our similarities and differences. What I always tell people is, if you put a man in a room with 10 attractive, sexy women, and you was to ask him, how many of these 10 women would you fuck one time, two times, or three times? More than likely, that man is going to say no less than 8 out of 10 women. He's probably going to say all 10 out of 10. Whereas if you put a woman in a room with 10 handsome, sexy guys and ask her the same question, she's not going to have the same response. Now, where they both will be similar is would probably be for their selectiveness towards a long-term monogamous partner. That's when men become selective. And I say that in my book, matter of fact, my third book, Ooh, Say It Again. I say, if in that same room scenario, if you ask that man, okay, how many of these women do you want to fuck 500 times exclusively over the next 2 years? That's when they're going to be rubbing their chin like, ooh, I don't know. Okay, let me get to know them. They'll use that phrase that women like to say, get to know them. They'll be like, ooh. Because, yeah, when you're talking about fucking a woman long-term monogamously, that's when just about all men are similar to women in the sense that they want to get to know that woman. And the reason why, I've talked about this, I think, just last week. Speaking for myself, the reason why I always say this about men. Men don't need to get to know a woman to decide whether or not we want to fuck them. Any man who says that, I look at him like that's total bullshit. Man, we don't need to get to, I don't even need to know a woman's name to fuck her. What I want to get to know a woman for is for those moments when we're not going to be fucking. Like, if I'm going to leave her in my house by herself, if I'm going to let her drive my car potentially, and things of that nature. I want to know about her character and her integrity, but strictly for sexual purposes, I don't need to know what your favorite movie and favorite food and some of your experiences from childhood. All I need to know is, are you STD free and are you not a psycho stalking type woman? Once I know those two things, I'm ready to fuck if I'm physically attracted to that woman. But yeah, I don't think
you can know though if she's not a psycho crazy person by. Like, you can't know that so quickly. That's something,
well, yeah, that's,
I mean,
that's,
if you've seen Fatal Attraction.
We actually discussed this in last week's episode. Matter of fact, one woman said that had the same response. She's like, that's not something you can know by the end of the first conversation. And I actually agree with that. Yeah, most of the time you don't know until they just start stalking you.
that's grown too late.
a pleasant experience.
Yeah.
850-850, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
Hey, what's up, Alan? How you doing, Lauren?
I'm good. How are you?
Who's this?
This is Kent from down in sunny Florida, man. What's going on?
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay. Nice.
Jealous.
No. Trust me. Y'all got to remember, though, down here in Florida, once it gets below 50, we think it's cold. So.
Right.
So just bear that in mind, but Alan, man, read your book, Mo 1. This is gonna be a really interesting perspective because first of all, I'm actually still in college, so
okay.
I'm actually really, really young. But like, I guess the main thing I wanted to talk about was just like with the whole situation on, you know, men not being able to approach women. I'm cool with that. But see, there's got to be some kind of compensation. If we can't approach them, are they going to start approaching us more?
I approach men. If I'm interested in a man, my boyfriend, I ask him out.
Well, see, and I've actually experienced that too myself. But the problem is that that's so rare, especially on a college campus. In fact, like, I'll give you an example. Like, I was talking to, you know, a couple of friends of mine, and they were and she told me, you know, straight up, she was like, you know, even if I like a guy, I still think it's more manly if he approaches me rather than me approach him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and especially, you know, and I know you made some comments earlier about, like, I know you were partially joking, but you were saying, like, you know, if a guy came up to me, he said I want to fuck you, I kick him in the balls, like. Even though you're kind of joke, I know you were, you know, of course you were just thinking that you wouldn't actually do it. But see, like, for most guys who have approach anxiety, that's exactly the thing they're thinking about. And Alan can probably sign off on this, because a lot of times, most guys, myself included, if we're anxious about approaching, those are the things we think about. We're like, well, you know, we're thinking, like, shit, man, you know, is she going to slap me in the face, you know, or what?
Can I make a comment on that, actually? I just want to go back a little bit to something you said about how the girl that you spoke to said that she considers it more manly if the man approaches her, right?
That's true. Correct.
I think that's horseshit. I think that's entire and complete horseshit. We need to get to a point in our society where it is just as cool for a woman to approach a man. I have
Amen.
Had men tell me that they find it more attractive. And you know what? I think that women need to step up. That's not your problem at all. It's the woman's problem. If a woman says, oh, I want to be treated like an, you know, an equal, but I don't want to go and approach the man, she's entirely negating everything. They need to step up, and they need to show desire just as much as men do. That's how it becomes an equal playing field. I can understand your anxiety with approaching a woman then and being afraid that she's going to slap you. All you need to do, as Alan said earlier, that we agreed on, is just be authentic with her. You know, mm-hmm. be provocative if you need to be. Be who you are and allow yourself to be on the line that way, and you'll find that you have more success.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah,
I'll tell you this. I'm going to say this, and I know some. I might get some feedback from some women. I'll preface by saying I've never been one who condones a man, you know, being physically abusive with women. But if I didn't touch a woman, and a woman ever, because I get asked that question all the time, have you ever been slapped for some of the provocative shit? I say, hell no. And if a woman was to slap me, I'd slap the fucking shit out of her. And y'all can quote me on that. I will slap. No woman, I don't care. I don't play that shit, well, you know, she's a woman. No, if I haven't put my hands on you, do not fucking put your hands on me. And if a woman was, I don't like to talk about hypotheticals, but if a woman was to slap me, yeah, number one, my hands are so quick, I would probably catch her hand before she was able to connect.
Well, that's what you can tell the judge then, right?
Mm-hmm. Well,
oh, yeah, I'd tell the judge, I'd be like, hey, this bitch slapped me, and I slapped the fucking shit out of her. And we would take
cool.
it from
we'll
there.
We'll see you in 6 months then.
I'd be ready to go to court. If a woman hit me first, shit. Well, no woman better not be stupid enough to do no shit. But I can say, as old as I am, I've been Mo 1 now for shit, 25, 30 years, and I've said some of the most triple X-rated shit a man could ever say to a woman. I've never had a woman do anything physical with me, ever.
To your point, Alan, like, I'm going to be honest, like, with most people who read your book, especially the college student, man, when I read it, I was like, damn, man, this is some X-rated shit. And then, of course, I remember, like, you had a discussion with Steve Adine, I think it was about 3 months ago, I think. And, you said, like, look, guys, you don't have to be that X-rated. Problem is, I didn't hear that in time enough, but oh well. But what I actually found was that kind of what Norm was alluding to was it's not so much about, you know, the words you say, I mean, the words you say do matter, but it's also who's saying it, you know, because, like, I actually had a female friend ask me straight up, like, do you think I'm attractive? And I just said, and I'm not going to lie, Alan, your book came in my mind, man, and I was just like, hell yeah, man, you sexy. It's all you find as hell. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm in deep shit. I'm fucked up, man. I'm just, like, I was ready. I was like, well, here it goes. I'm ready for the red heart. And then she actually started laughing, and she was like, you know, thank you for your honesty. So, but the thing is that, like, you don't know. And one of the things I say, like, I don't do, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, be like, yeah, man, I approach 100 women a day, because no, I don't do that. But you live long enough, and you kind of know when somebody just, like, you know when they just ain't interested. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I go up to someone and I try to start like a conversation with them, and then I can see, like, okay, they ain't even paying attention to me, or they start, like you just said, they move away, I'm just leave. But
See that, with most guys, I don't mean to cut you off, I'm sorry, but, sessions, over half of what I teach guys is, I not only help guys with their verbal game, but you got to be up on your, what I call your body language game. And certain women, and see, that's probably why I never have been slapped or anything like that, is because a lot of guys who haven't read my book thoroughly or never took a coaching session with me, they think I just randomly go up to women and yell out loud and say, "Hey, my name's Alan. I want to fuck the shit out of you." And it's funny to me, like, when I got to tell this quick story. When I did the Direct Dating Summit in Las Vegas in 2012, there were these guys there that called themselves impersonating me. And that's what they were all doing.
Oh, shit.
They would say, okay, this is I'm going to do my impersonation of Alan. They would act like they were approaching a woman, and they would start talking real loud and saying X-rated shit real loud. And I was like, where are you getting that from? And even one of the other dating coaches, I'm not going to say.
That's flattering, though. They want to be you. Imitation is the highest form of flattery.
Well, yes and no. If you're going to impersonate me, do it accurate. And even another dating coach whose name I will not say, he got on stage and did the same thing. He was talking about his approach, and he said, or I could be like Alan Roger Curry and be like, yo, baby, I want to fuck the shit out of you. And everybody was laughing, and I kind of chuckled a bit, but I was like, so when I got on stage, I was like, where is everybody getting this impression that I'm real loud with women? And everybody was just stump-faced. Because I was like, I rarely have ever talked like that to a woman. And then when I demonstrated how I do, it's like everybody was like, oh, I see why Alan gets away with being as X-rated as he is. He's smooth. And I already gave my secret in this conversation, is that I don't get X-rated with women. There's a few exceptions, but generally, it's not until a woman has given me the body language green light to talk to her in her left ear. That's when I'm going to say every fucking thing I want to say to a woman. But if we're still about a foot apart, 2 feet apart or more, I don't say triple X-rated shit to women. So that just trips me out. But anyway, I had interrupted you. You were saying that you thought you were going. So here's the thing, and I got to lightheartedly criticize you, but a lot of my clients are like this. They picture negative reactions and visualize negative reactions that are much worse than what they've actually experienced. I can't tell you how many times guys will say, okay, using Lauren's example, they'll say, hey, Alan, I got a question. I'll say, okay, what if I'm like in a mall and I approach this woman and I'm like mall one with her and she like just kicks me in the nuts? And I always say, well, how many times has that happened to you up to this point? Well, it's never happened. And I'll be like, why the fuck are you talking about it then? Why are you talking about something that hasn't happened? So you were visualizing that woman you spoke of giving you a much more negative reaction than she actually. Because here's another thing that I have to say. This goes back to my four categories. Do you know, honestly, my worst reactions have been from the women that I fucked? That's what's so funny to me and so ironic to me. The women who have given me the most theatrical reactions were the women that I ultimately ended up fucking. Most of the women who were genuinely not interested in me, they would either have a reaction like they were amused by it, like, wow, okay, that's a new approach. And then they would go on to say, well, I'm not interested. Or if they didn't laugh or chuckle about it, they just very calmly, in a cool, calm, collected manner, said, you know, well, I appreciate your interest in me, but I'm just not interested. It would be quick and to the point. But all the women who did that, excuse me, I beg your pardon, I can't believe you said that shit to me, and blah, 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 blah. Dude, 90% of those women, if not more, are the women that either hours later, days later, weeks later, months later, I ended up fucking. So
I would just like to interject for a second and say, I'm sorry, I forget your name. What's your name again?
It's Kent.
No, sorry, I didn't hear you. Say that one more time.
Kent.
Sorry,
Kent.
Very nice name, Kent.
Thank you.
What Alan's been saying just about you worrying about something that's never necessarily happened, he has a really good point with that. You have to be bold. You have to go ahead and you have to do your thing. But the difference between you and the men who actually do get kicked in the nuts is the following. You be authentic. You do it the way that your style dictates. If you see a girl that you find attractive, go up to her and say, listen, I have to be really honest with you. I think you're really pretty, and I couldn't help notice you, and I'm just saying that I would like to get to know you a little bit more. I'd love to have a conversation with you, and maybe we could really hit it off. Maybe we have a lot in common. Be funny, be cool, be weird, be whoever you are, and I can promise you that you will find a woman who is not only going to want to go for you, but is also going to want to do things to your body.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, like, this is, well, really one of the reasons why I called in was, like, was my personal thing was, like, okay, let's just suppose, like, I start using, you know, Alan's approach, right? And then the thing was, like, let's say, okay, I'm going to give you an example, Alan. Like, let's say we're playing football, right? And you've been taught how to, you know, let's say you play defense, and all your life you played defense and you were allowed to hit a certain area. So all of a sudden, the NFL was like, okay, well, look, man, you can't hit this area anymore. So it's like, well, damn, I got to change my whole approach up. But let's suppose, though, you hadn't been playing for a while. Let's suppose you just started playing and you just started learning the game. And then that happened. And then it's like, well, you know, then it's like, well, you know, well, goddamn, you know what I'm saying? It's, so I guess that was my whole thing. But to address, like, the point of, like, why guys like us think like that, I mean, I just give you guys just, straight up, like, this is just how I was raised. Like, I was raised, like, in, I'd say, more of, like, a conscious community, if that makes any sense. Like, you know, people, if you did something wrong, people noticed it. I'll put it that way. So if you did something wrong and, or, you know, you set someone off the wrong way, you know, this was early childhood. Of course, now in college, shit, people, you can go up to see people and be like, hey, what's up? And then you see them the next week, they can't even remember your face. But, you know, that's how it was back in the day. You did something wrong, people remembered it. So I think for a lot of guys, especially in college, it's like, it's that whole notion of, like, or really the idea of where you have to, you're trying to pull away from what you used to, from what you used to do. You're trying to get rid of old programming. And you're literally trying to rewire yourself. Because for me personally, I've always had to be more cautious. You see, if you understand what I'm saying, your whole approach is the exact polar opposite to how I used to do it. So, you know, so a lot of guys who have problems approaching now, like, that's probably, they're probably in my same shoe where it's like they're so used to always being cautious that now it's like, okay, we're going to, okay, it's no longer, you know, going, being cautious. It's like, no, you see something you want, you got to go get it. You know, it's
well,
like learning.
I wasn't born Mo 1. I used to be, if you read my book, you know, I used to be, have to, at least with a certain group of women. Here was my thing. When I was younger, say, late teens, early to mid-20s, if I met women that, say, had really provocative clothing on and just gave off obvious signals that they were kinky, what I call kinky freak types, I would naturally be Mo 1 with them. But when I was in the company of women who I would describe as a little bit more classy and conservative in their clothing, those were the women who I initially used to be very cautious with. But what I learned is all women's pussies get wet. It's just that simple. I don't know any other way to put it. All women's pussies get wet. I don't care if they dress conservatively or they got on a short type miniskirt. And if you say the right thing at the right time in the right woman's left ear, you can get her pussy wet. It's that simple. And the second
unless
thing
she's
I learned.
A unicorn.
Huh?
I'm sorry?
Unless she's a unicorn.
Yeah, well, yeah. I try to stay away from the unicorns. But see, that plays into my point. You wouldn't know a woman's a quote-unquote unicorn until she tells you. And that's why I'm all about approaching women, because you just never know. And see, here's where I got to put some some blame on women, for lack of a better word. I really don't like to use the word blame, but my mother even broke it down in her bless her heart. And my mother was a very conservative, semi-prudish woman. But we talked about Mo 1, you know, her son. I wrote it before she had passed away. And she brought up a good point. She said in her day, there really wouldn't have been no such thing as a Mo 1 guy, because it was kind of a general consensus that women weren't fucking until they got married. So no man would even felt provoked to be more one with a woman. But see, in today's society, starting with the sexual revolution of the late 60s up until now, the dating landscape totally changed. And when I taught this class called Dating for 21st Century Singles, that's the main thing I taught. I said, the biggest thing that changed the landscape of dating is when women start becoming more comfortable having premarital sex and more specifically, casual sex. Because it's like you can't, if I put you in a room, say, with 10 beautiful women, and I told you ahead of time that all these women were either virgins or committed to remaining celibate until they were married, how would you respond? Would you still go up to them and try to, you know, talk about fucking and all that shit with them?
All right, well, first of all, I just read your new book, We'll Say It Again, so I kind of cheated on this, but I'll go ahead and just pretend like I didn't read it, but if I knew that, if I knew it was no chance, I'd probably be just relaxed. I'd probably be like, well, you know, it's like I ain't getting nothing, so I'm just going to chill out and not worry about it. I ain't going to stress about it.
I would say most guys would have that response. But this is where it gets tricky, and this is what I think represents today's society. Now let's change it. Now let's say instead of all 10 women being the combination of virgins and women who are committed to celibacy until marriage, let's say it's half and half. About, let's say 4 women are women who are committed to celibacy until marriage, but the other 6 women were down to fuck, but you didn't know who was who, and you had to just find out through conversation. Then, quite naturally, I would assume you are going to be more one.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be like, well, I know that at least half these women are down to fuck. And that's how I look at men in society today. Because we know women are fucking.
Mm-hmm.
That's what provokes us to be more one and want to approach women and try to get them in bed. You know, some people straightforwardly like me. Other people try to bullshit their way. But either or, the reason why they approach them, period, because they know that women are fucking.
I mean, I just use college as an example, man. Everybody here on college campus, everybody already knows how it's going down. Everybody knows, like, okay, look, like, pretty much, like, the way we see it here in college is, like, we see it, like, okay, look, it's like kind of like going off what you were saying. We think it's like a lottery ticket. It's like, okay, look, you know there's a pretty good chance you can get it, but then going back to the whole, you know, back to the topic a little bit, it's like, well, depending on who you approach, it's like, you know, especially with everybody watching, it's like, especially like in our campus, I don't know how it is everywhere else, but like you got a courtyard. That's where most of the girls are at. So first thing you think is like, let's say you have someone like Lauren, it's like, you know, you go up to her and you're like, hey, ma'am, can I talk to you for a second? And she keeps walking. Okay, that's rejection. But, I mean, Alan, you're a brother too, so you know how we do. Like, you have some dude be like, damn, man, she didn't give you the time of day, man. Like, ooh, and, you know, like, seriously, that's the kind of shit that runs through people's heads, man. Like just real talk.
Yeah, so, I understand that.
Yeah, it's hard. The whole thing, especially when you're in college. What college do you go to, Kent?
Actually, I go to Florida State.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, so the national champions.
Yeah, yeah, baby. You already know, man.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, the whole thing is just, it's just hard and shitty when you're in college. Like, I mean, it's tricky, though. Like, you do have to speak to the woman for a while to find out exactly what she's about. And that woman, I'm gonna be honest with you, just from my own personal perspective, she's decided whether or not she's interested in you within the first 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Depending on how you talk. And how you conduct yourself and how you stand and how you approach her. So it's a hard game to play, but you have to realize too that for some women it's not just a game. It's actually part of their life. So it's kind of finding that fine line between getting what you want, which is important, and having a certain level of empathy. So you have my sympathy. Every man on the planet who's ever approached a woman in his life has my sympathy. It's really, it can be done. I would hate to be a man. Just, if I were born a man, I would probably just have a sex change and call it a day.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because most of us men, we feel the same.
I'm about to say, man, like, I'm not gonna lie, with some of the things women have to go through, I'm just like, man, they can keep it.
You just can't win as a person ever.
I think both genders definitely have their pros and cons, strengths and weaknesses, but you know, most men I know. Of course, we were ridiculously biased because we've been men, just like you've been a woman all your life. You know, for example, you know, in that respect about the whole approaching thing, yeah, I would say some women have advantage. Well, no, I would have to clarify by age because, like, this guy, matter of fact, one of my good friends from Canada sent me this article about a year, maybe 2 years ago, about this woman. It was so interesting. There was this woman that basically said when she was 25, she was just like Lauren and some other women I know. She said she hated guys approaching her and trying to get in her pants. But she said now that she's 45, she actually says she wishes she had men trying to get in her pants. Cause she's
you never know
single.
How things could change. Yeah.
And that's what this guy had on the show. His name was Steve Penner. He talked about that. He was like, as far as the benefits of being a man versus being a woman, he said women have the edge in society between roughly 18 and 35. He said that's when it's a given that the men are going to more so play up to the women than vice versa. But he said starting with 40... He said that's when the tables turned. He said that's when the men had an edge because most men ain't really trying to holler at older women, I mean, the way they do younger women. It just that's just a reality of life. Anyway, I thank you for calling in, Kent. Kent, before you go, you know you got to give me an enthusiastic Mo One.
Mo One.
Mo One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo one.
So I got to ask you, Lauren, are you game to go another 25 minutes? Because I see some more callers. And right now I'm going to take Eric. I know who this is. Eric, code 253. This is my man, EVP3 from Seattle. What's up, EVP3? EVP, this is one of my boys, Lord. We childhood buddies. He's been to Canada, and he's experienced Canadian women and, you know, the women in the States, and he
Canadian
listens to all my episodes. So EVP, I hear you chuckling, man. So what's your question?
We could have a whole episode about Mode 1 in Canada, but we're not going to go there with you on this show because we're well into it, you know what I mean? Because me and Canada go way back. But anyway, I want to say, you and Lord and bait switched me or something. Is this show about Mode 1? Is this about, I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, I got my summa cum laude in Mode 1, but I thought this was going to be about something more about sexual harassment or something.
Well,
we just started talking about everything. It just got expanded, and then it became this whole new thing, and now we're just talking about everything. We can talk about politics now, too, if you want. I know a lot about environmental issues.
I'm trying to be funny, but not. I mean, it's very unentertaining. But, I mean, I was just like, wait a minute, because I didn't come fully prepared, you know. Let me just say, because the young cat, since we was talking, we saw more of late about Mo 1. This was Mo 1 and I go way back, as Alan alluded to, knowing each other since, you know, young. Mo 1, this is my opinion, so Alan, you know, the young dude, he's in college down in Florida, I think I heard him say just recently. On the call. Mm-hmm. Mode 1 is really doesn't matter if you're 18 or you're 80. You know, Mode 1 is basically like a philosophy having to do with interaction between men and women and how Alan breaks it. It's a philosophy basically almost like if you have Ben Hogan where he's written books about the swing and golf. If you embrace it, you read it, you understand it, you embrace it, it doesn't matter how young or old you are. It's about if you embrace it and you understand it fully. What I might imagine a young person might reading Mo 1 may feel, if they haven't had much interactions with the other sex, with the female, they may feel a little bit, they might not have as many examples and things to think about. But if you've had, in my opinion, certain interactions between man and woman, and you read Mo 1, you totally embrace the Mo's, that Alan explains, the four Mo's, and the way he explains the categories with women. You embrace it, you'll see right away examples and be able to certainly understand it. That said, again, in my opinion, you know, once you embrace Mode 1 and you get it, you understand that it's really going to be as much about being self-assured and confident and not having doubt, for you to be able to totally see the fruition and see what's going on with Mo 1. Because if you're not, say you're male, you're not fully, just speaking, you know, blankly, not fully self-assured in yourself and not confident, and there's doubts that go, a lot of analytical, a lot of things going on up in your mind between your interactions with another female, you're going to have issues with seeing Mo 1 play out.
Yeah, that's kind of the same with anything, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, like, if you find a certain amount of confidence with yourself, like, that seems to be, I guess, Alan, that seems to be the core thing that you're kind of teaching everyone, is to find that level of self-confidence in themselves to get what they want sexually and romantically. Am I right?
Well, here's what I believe. A lot of guys... Some of the guys I will meet for the first time, they will say something to the effect of, Alan, why should I further change my behavior as a result of reading your book? And one of the things I quickly tell them is, I said, I'm not trying to change you. If anything, I'm trying to unchange you. Because what I feel is, if you strip the man of all his, what I refer to in my books as his social conditioning, social programming, all men would be Mo 1. All men would be Mo 1. The reason why guys aren't Mo 1, and I explain this in detail in my book, is because basically, in a manner of speaking, we develop these layers of dishonest, disingenuous, social programming-provoked bullshit, facades, all these facades. But men, at their core, all men want to be Mo 1. And I very rarely, if ever, have met a man who's denied it. All men, at their core, want to be Mo 1. But what prevents them is, it starts with maybe their mother told them to be a gentleman. Somebody at the church told them to act this way. The aunts and uncles said act this way. And so they develop all these layers, again, of facades where they say, that's what kind of fucked me up and what led me to Mo 1. It's because I used to buy into that. I used to believe that around certain women I had to be this polite gentleman. And where I reached a point of frustration was, one thing I noticed was that all the women who I was being a polite gentleman with, who were giving me all these compliments, like, hey, he's so sweet, he's so nice, he's a great guy, them women weren't sucking my dick and giving me no pussy. Whereas the women who I was just being my raw, natural self with, they were criticizing me, whether it be lightheartedly or a tad bit more seriously, but I was fucking those women. So my epiphany was like, okay, what's wrong with this picture? Why are the women who are criticizing me, giving me the pussy, and the women who are complimenting me, treat me like a play brother and a purely platonic friend? I was like, that's when I realized that this social programming was bullshit. So all that to say that I think, if men were their natural, true selves, they would naturally be confident. You wouldn't have to. To me, confidence is not so much something you teach as much as it is something you unleash. And I feel like once you peel back those layers of facades, your natural confidence will be unleashed and it will reveal itself. And that's what I encourage men to do.
Amen. Like I said, It was like water when I first read Mo 1. So, and let me just jump back a little bit further here. This since we're on Mo 1, let me just say, because I know the stories, you know, Alan, from when it happened back at the grocery store, and many, many more. But let me just say, it doesn't matter if a woman sucks your dick in a grocery store, if it's 1 in the afternoon or if it's 5 a.m., if a woman sucks your dick in a grocery store, she either thinks the bananas are laying on your immediately attached to your midsection, or that is one of an infomercial for Mo 1. That's all
I got.
If that
woman mistakes a banana for your dick, you and the woman have a very serious issue.
Okay, let's try to bring it back a little bit more questions. And when I ask this one, I'm not trying to be a rude, I'm just honestly, I'm honestly curious.
Oh, cool.
Has a male said or asked you, are you approved? Have the male said that to you or thought you were?
Of course people ask me. I really don't care what people think. If they think I'm approved, they can go think that I'm approved.
I'm not trying to be, rude. Like I said, I'm just curious because I haven't listened to you.
No, I mean, of course I've been accused of being
approved. Have you gotten that a lot? Have you gotten that, though?
Of course I have. And you know what? It's because I don't just go ahead and give myself out to whoever. I think that people actually have to work for it. I'm really proud of how I look. I'm really proud of who I am. And if someone wants to get in this, they have to really, really impress me. And
unless they're Michael Fassbender.
Michael wouldn't have to work as hard. That's another question.
No. He's got the pass, but everybody else on the planet, yes.
There's only one man.
Brings up a point, Lauren, though, and this brings up an interesting point, even though I know you're being lighthearted, but you're probably being a little bit serious. Were you ever a fan familiar with the show called Entourage? On HBO?
No, I don't like Entourage. Actually, I think it's really well-written. It's a well-written show, but I don't really care for the subject matter, and the acting was meh.
Oh, man, I love that show. That was my show. But,
we
all have our opinions.
It wasn't for me.
But I respect that. But anyway, there was this episode where Vince, if you're loosely familiar with the character, Vince was like this up-and-coming movie star. And he was at this Hollywood, I want to say, bookstore. And I think I remember the exact bookstore he was at because I've been there before. Anyway, this woman says, oh, my God, you know, you're Vince. I can't remember his last name. And he says, yeah. And they start talking, and she basically lets him know that she wants to give him some pussy. But then she goes on to say that she's engaged. And Vince is like, whoa. You want me to fuck you and you're engaged? She's like, yeah, don't worry. My fiance, he knows you're one of the guys that I have a pass for. And I've actually met women, including, sadly, one of my own ex-girlfriends said that. I'll never forget one time we were talking, and she asked me, she said, Alan, name 3 to 5 female celebrities that you would, like, fuck at the drop of a dime. And I said, I don't know. I said, I was like you, Lauren. I was like, you know, celebrities are people, too. And I said, because I've lived in Hollywood and interacted with a few, I don't really put them on any type of pedestal, so I don't look at them any more different than an attractive woman, I mean, in Target. So anyway, I turned the tables on her. I said, well, you know, and she started talking about Shamar Moore, who's on Criminal Minds. She said,
I
got to be honest with you. If you and I continue to date, you would have to give me a pass to just go ahead and fuck Shamar Moore. And this woman was like a semi-prude type woman. But yet, she was talking about she had a pass. She wanted a pass for Shamar Moore. And anyway, my point is that just shows me and most of the men that I'm discussing with that even women who fancy themselves as prude or conservative types, if they're in the company of a guy who they're really, really attracted to, they still want to fuck him, and they want to fuck him immediately. So that prudish shit is for the quote-unquote non-celebrity guys or, you know, whatever.
I mean, but that's kind of a put-up or shut-up situation, right? You're not going to really know unless that certain celebrity or whatever is standing in front of her, right? It's a hypothetical situation, so you can't really say that that's anything one way or the other unless you're actually presented with the situation.
So I guess that known was known as prudish to a point, or what?
Sorry, are you asking if I'm a prude? Are you still trying to find that out?
No, you answered that one. Thank you for answering that, because I mean,
before, if that's what you're asking.
I didn't want to get too personal, but thanks for answering that as well, because I did cross my head that question.
What did you just say, Lord?
I mean, I was wondering if he's still trying to find out if I'm a prude.
No, but she's
still
she's reading my question.
Sex has happened in my life, you know? Like,
like reading my mind.
I mean, I'm not a 29-year-old virgin.
So just to clarify, Lauren, I think you already answered this question, but I'm going to ask you again. You've never had, like, a one-night stand or a weekend fling?
No.
Okay. Okay.
No.
But both Al and Lauren, I think you actually kind of stumbled on another show here, though, quite as kept with that past thing. You should probably try to look to have someone on, Alan, that has actually executed on that past thing. I don't know, think you have. I've heard
yeah.
most of the show.
And no,
if
that
you're
that
asking Alan to have me back on the show, I think that's a good
Joe.
Idea.
I have one more actual question to bring us back home, though, for Lauren. Because early on, I like how you referred to when you first started on the lines of the harassment thing, and you described the one thing in the mall, and you used the term isolate, I think. So, but tell me this, and I know you write for the Huffington Post, so maybe you do know, in Canada, has there ever been a lawsuit that you know of that's gone through that the woman has won where it was an isolated situation, that guy approached
her? Oh, my God, here.
Won in court? She actually won
in
court?
Why
ask this? Because Alan, before you go on, because Alan, when you guys are conversing in there, as Alan basically spoke to there, that in terms of repetition, you could certainly see more call when, you know, when someone's going to cross the line over into harassing a female and there being, you know, grounds in the case. But it made
yeah.
me think, you said that the isolated part, I was like, hey, does she know of any actual cases there in Canada where there was an isolated case, so different than what Alan was suggesting, and it went through? Because I would think it would be tough to get through court.
Let me give you an example in response to that. If you look at any iron, you know, for ironing clothes, if you look at any iron, there is a warning on it that says, do not use while wearing clothes. That means that there somewhere on the planet was a lawsuit in which a person tried to iron their own clothes with the iron on while the clothes were on their body, and they won.
Wow.
So I don't know of a very specific case, but I am promising you right now, we live in a very, very legal world. There is a woman somewhere in Canada who sued for that. If some asshole can sue for ironing himself, that woman could win for sexual harassment.
Not that you were getting to this, but just to make sure, that's a real interesting way you put that, by the way. I appreciate
Thank
that.
You.
But I wasn't so much challenging you. I was just curious if you knew of one, because I was, you know, I know you're close and you know more about it. I was just wondering, if you knew of one, but it sounds like you didn't, because I was just more curious. And what
no, I don't have one at the top
the
of my head, but if I did the research, I could probably find one.
Okay, I'm getting
to that. Yeah, I would be interested to hear about that case. I would be very interested.
Follow-up show?
Yeah, follow-up show, because you're going to come back. I know, because you and Alan just going off on so much stuff that you got to come back.
Alan and I are friends now. Alan and I go way back.
You know what she told me in a real cocky written manner on Twitter? She said, because, you know, I had labeled her this hardcore feminist type, and she said something to the fact, oh, Alan, after you interview me, you're going to fall in love with me. You're going to be totally charmed by me. You're going to fall in love with me. She just was telling me that. She just knew I was just going to be enamored, despite the fact that I perceived her as this hardcore feminist type who's against men approaching women in malls. Anyway, always good to hear from you.
Put that core belief hypnotism on you. Maple leaf. I'm thinking. That's my third party coming out. Maple leaf. That's my third party. That maple leaf hypnotism on.
Yeah. All right, EVP.
All right, y'all. Thanks.
All right. Have a good night.
Go wherever you gotta go. You too.
Bye.
And now there's a couple more callers I see, but before I get to those callers, I want to just throw in a couple questions. Now, you mentioned, you said you've approached men. Well, obviously, you didn't approach them for a one-night stand weekend fling because you said you never engaged in those. But you said you have approached men that you were interested in. Now, I don't like to ask those hypothetical questions, but that said, I'm going to go ahead and ask you one. What if you had approached a guy just confidently assuming he was going to be, you know, receptive to you, and he was like, hey, bitch, fuck off. Who told you to come up here and start talking to me?
Alan. You've seen a photo of me. You know that would never happen.
Oh, that's bullshit. What are you talking about? Just because you're attractive, you saying that would never happen?
I'm just being funny.
Okay.
No, I've had men who said that they weren't interested, of course. That's happened. I've never had anybody who's been, like, aggressive with me to go away because whenever I do approach men, there's a few physical signs, like you said. There's eye contact. If a man maintains eye contact with you for a period of time over a room, you know that something's up and you got to go there. But I've never had any really unpleasant experiences. When I do approach, I approach selectively, and I've always received really great response. I've had more than one relationship start from – actually, most of my relationships started with me approaching the man.
So you one of those Demi Moore from Disclosure. Did you see Disclosure?
No.
You didn't
see
that?
I?
Oh, that's,
I think I
that's
did.
A good movie. You should. If you got some free
Fatal
time.
Fatal Attraction was the one I said. Fatal Attraction.
Huh?
What are we talking about?
No, the movie. The movie I was highlighting was called. It's called Disclosure. It stars Demi Moore. As a matter of fact, it relates to this discussion. It's about sexual harassment. Only. Normally, when you think of sexual harassment, you think of a man harassing a woman. Well, what it was is Demi Moore in the movie, I'm telling kind of the plot, she comes on to Michael Douglas, and he's married, and he rebuffs her. And because he rebuffed her and she gets mad, she accuses him of sexual harassment, when the reality was she was basically sexually harassing him. And And then the next thing I'm going to say is actually kind of a spoiler, at least dialogue spoiler, but towards the end of the movie, along the lines of how you're describing yourself as you like to approach men, that's what she basically says. She has a soliloquy where she says, and I'm paraphrasing, but she says, you know, the days of women being these passive women who stand on the sidelines waiting for men to approach us all the time, she was like, that's gone. That's bullshit. She was like, if I see a man that I'm attracted to and I want, she said, I'm going to approach him. She was like, fuck that, waiting for a man to approach me. And I was like, okay. And a lot of women at the time, they co-signed with her. They were like, shit, no, I ain't going to wait for no man to approach me. If I like what I see, I'm going to go after him. But, yeah, it's
might
funny.
As well.
You made the comment, Alan, you see me. I always say this to certain people. And it kind of sounds ridiculous because there is no accurate stereotype of a face with a voice, but your voice is totally different than what I pictured it to be, looking
it's
at
so
your pictures.
It's so funny. I knew that you would have that reaction, and every time I talk to somebody, the moment the voice comes out, because I get ID'd everywhere. Like I'm turning 29 in 2 months, and I can still pass for 18. But the moment that I start speaking, everyone's like, whoa, where did that come from? So, yeah, I
you
like
got
to
this
think that it's my middle
age in
the
whole. Deeply resonant voice, and, like, I can hear the subtle feministic tones in your voice. And, and you sound like you're just seasoned veteran of life in your voice. Whereas your picture.
Oh, I like that.
You look like you would have this kind of lighter, like, hey, how are you tonight?
It does look like that. Alan, can I quote you on that? Can I say that? A seasoned something
veteran
of life?
Of life.
See, that's going on my Twitter and, like, on all my reviews for everything for the rest of my life. That's brilliant. I love it.
If you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm going to be 29 in 2 months.
Okay. I've had at least a handful of guests that were also like, but yeah, as soon as you start talking, I was like, this is Lauren? Yeah, I definitely anticipated a different voice. Now I'm going to go back to the phone lines and go
okay,
with...
I should probably go off after one more.
Okay. All right. Area code 209-209. You're now up front and straightforward. Alan Roger Curry, what's your question or comment?
Hello, Miss Meserve. Hello, Alan Roger Curry. How are you doing tonight?
Hello.
Good.
Now, I had a question. This is about what Alan said earlier in the show about if a woman ever hit him or he would, you know, yeah, obviously, what
I said, I
now,
would slap
no,
the shit out of them.
This is a very serious question for me. I'm asking because I grew up in a home where, you know, I could have been one of those guys, but because of Alan's friend, the dean, by listening to his advice, he's kept me on a straight path, right? But a lot of my female friends who have been in abusive homes, right, or they just felt that, or the girls who were able to get away with stuff, they were able to get away with hitting men and putting them in jail, not because anyone hurt them, it's because they knew that the law and was on their side. And I do understand in Canada the abusive laws are a little different and a little bit more severe.
Mm-hmm.
But what
yeah.
do you say to women who do abuse the system? Let's say out here, and I'm in California, and for instance, if there are girls who are purposely putting men in jail, dating nice guys, and then trying to provoke them, out here, if their sons and mothers and daughters find out, they will come after these women. So
yeah, I think it's disgusting. I think that women who abuse the system like that, it's inexcusable. It's using people, and it's its own form of abuse. I've known women. It's the whole boy who cried wolf thing, right? They like
right.
to go ahead and say certain things in order to get rid of guys, sometimes even just for entertainment value, and it's sick. And to any woman who I ever heard doing that, I would say should be ashamed of yourself, and, you know, what goes around comes around, right? I don't condone those women ever being physically harmed in return as retribution. I don't condone revenge in any way, shape, or form because it's ineffective. But what I do think needs to happen is I think that there needs to be better court systems to deal with these situations. There needs to be better evidence brought forward. And these men who are put in these situations need to be better represented. And, you know, it's unfortunate. Sometimes that ends up being the favor, but, you know, there needs to be justice for all.
Okay.
You know what's interesting, caller? Have you ever watched the show Law & Order SUV? Or SVU, I mean?
No, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, on this show, this was a few years ago, and, you know, a lot of their shows are, a lot of the material on their shows is based on real-life incidences. And this one episode where this guy was basically a serial killer of women, and they did their research on the guy and found out one of the reasons he hated women so much is because his mother had physically abused his father. And the guy who used to be on the show, he left, was the main male character. He says, you know, he tells his partner, he says, wait a minute, are you telling me that this happens? And she quotes the statistic, which I ended up looking up, and it was an actual statistic. I can't remember it now. I want to say it's like somewhere between 20 to 25% of all physical abuse, domestic violence cases are actually women whooping the man's ass. And a lot of times they do it more viciously. It won't be like with a fist. It'll be like with a pot or pan or some kind of weapon and shit.
And there's psychological abuse, too, which is almost worse. You know what I mean? Like the psychological and sexual abuse can happen from a woman to a man as well. It's a very, very gray line, unfortunately, in the court system, because I don't think people are familiar enough with the two sides of the coin. It's still a problem, and like I'm familiar with that episode you're telling me about, but I mean, either way, abuse is abuse. It shouldn't happen. It needs to be stopped, and that's unfortunately a big, you know, something that the court needs to actually start looking at more clearly.
Because the one thing I was highly opposed to is because, again, when I said I could have been one of these abusive men, and the thing is, I'm highly opposed to men not being able to defend themselves, because a lot of guys that I know, well, not all, but some of the, at least, I would say close to, like, a quarter of the guys that I know, these guys did not have a history of beating up women. They grew up in single mother homes, because in California, you know, a lot of men grow up in single mother homes. So they have mothers, they have daughters, mostly women. So they're totally against women being abused. But at the same time, they were turned to these guys because their mother told them to be nice. And unfortunately, this attracted very predatory type women who felt that they could abuse their niceness. And out of that, this guy gets labeled as a woman beater. So I'm highly opposed to men not being able to defend themselves.
There are different ways of defending yourself aside from physical violence, though. We need to keep that into consideration.
Well, and another thing is that in these instances, these women physically attack these men, and it's in the moment. It's not out of because, as you know, if people can get away with something, they're going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about, right?
Right.
Okay.
There's defense. There is defense. The men, like anybody who is being abused or physically hurt, has a right to defend themselves. However, they can choose how they defend themselves. Right? Always, the police should be involved in these situations. Like, violence should never be condoned one way or the other. And there needs to be support for the men who are put in these situations, as well as in the same way that there's support for women and like shelters for women who are going through abusive situations. So it's not so much as simple a problem as should the man have a right to defend himself. It's more, you have to look at the social infrastructure, the way that the households are set up, and the support systems that are put in place in order to stop the problem from happening before it happens. That's the heart of the issue right now, and that's something that, you know, we need to voice more clearly in order to get it working.
All right, Carla, what was your first name?
I'm a great politician.
Frederick.
Frederick, thank you for calling in, Frederick.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so now I'm going to just allow you to give any kind of final summation of your thoughts. And also, I don't want to necessarily put words in your mouth, but I want to essentially say some of your final thoughts would be, man, it's okay. If you're following Alan Roger Curry's Mo 1 approach, that's when it's okay to approach women. But when you follow these indirect, manipulative PUA-type guys, then just stop that shit. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I would agree with that. The thing, I'll just cite one more thing that was in my my Huffington Post blog that I received a personal response from. And there was a guy in a video who was talking about, like, you know, he was a Canadian pickup artist, how to be a pickup artist. And he was talking about, like, the amount of value that women put on material possessions and, you know, you should get them this, or they're expecting you to get them this, or tissues for when they cry, which I thought was just the response of a lunatic. What you're saying is you're treating women as humans, which is the main thing that needs to happen. You need to see the woman as a person before anything else and understand the body language as you have been teaching. And if the woman does give the approach signals, well, then, I mean, you're kind of in the game. But I would have to say that another thing, in order for the people who want to move further in this situation, is that to not view it only as a game. Romance can't be considered just a game. It's also part of your life, and it's a very important part of your life. So, yeah, go ahead and play the game, but understand that at one point or another, you have to put the game away, and you have to step up, be honest with who you are, be honest with the person that you're with, and continue your life from that point forward. So
well, see,
I do agree, like everything you've said to me, everything about what you've taught other people and approach, that sounds totally legitimate. I appreciate that.
Thank you. And well, one partial disagreement I have with the way you just worded that, but we all say things different. But I tell my guys, I don't believe in engaging in what I call manipulative head games. So I don't really look at, because that's what pickup artists, they always refer to it as. Matter of fact, one of the most popular pickup artist books is this book called The Game by Neil Strauss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
I'm familiar with The Game.
Yeah, I totally am against the notion of, I just believe the words you've been punching a few times tonight, I just believe in being authentic. Combination of, mm-hmm. of highly self-assured, and very authentic with women. And mm-hmm. I believe, you know, you put yourself in a position to have your desires and interests received. Hey, now I know we have run out of time technically, but this one guy in the chat room is begging me for one last quick question. You mind if
okay.
I ask you this quick question? Okay.
No problem.
Here you go. I don't know how to read your area code. It looks like an international area code. But you're upfront and straightforward. Alan Roger Curry, what's your quick question or comment?
Hey, Alan, I just had a quick question. Just a quick question for the guest. I was just reading an article on the Huffington Post, and she stated that a guy approached her and said, "I'm sorry, I just had to stop you. You're so beautiful. Can I take you out for a drink?" And she went on to be saying that this was manipulative behavior, and I'm just wondering what part of that was manipulative.
Because he was trying to sleep with me, and I knew he was trying to sleep with me. That's manipulative. If you're saying something and you mean something entirely different, that is by definition manipulation.
Well, if he wants to take you out for a drink in a nighttime setting, isn't that clear that he wants to be sexual with you?
Yes, that's why it's manipulative. I just said that.
So in other words, Lauren, you would have rather a guy approach you and just tell you he wants to fuck you.
Well, if, you know, and, you know, I wouldn't have gone for that either. But, yeah, it's better than saying something like that and, you know, not meaning anything close to what you're saying. Like, you don't want to take me out for a drink. You don't want to take me out for a conversation. You want to do things to my body. And I would be, you know, at least more, probably respect the person more for being honest. I wouldn't do anything with them either way. And that's pretty much the end of the story. That specific instance, too, that in the interest of the article is just a line that is an example. It's not necessarily a direct correlation with the idea of manipulation. It's an example of a conversation that would lead towards the manipulation, and it's an insinuation for the purpose of the article. There's not really enough time to expand on that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Alrighty. All right. Thank you for your time.
Okay,
thank you
for calling. Now, you know, I do have to ask you a quick follow-up question, though. Because earlier, even though you've been endorsing my mode one approach and being upfront and straightforward, but you did
I still endorse it. But
you did say early in the conversation that you would rather a man, quote-unquote, get to know you first before wanting to fuck you. So why would that be inappropriate if a guy was what if the guy genuinely wanted to first get to know you before fucking you?
I can tell. I mean, if you're really listening to the way that a person is talking, if you're a type of person who watches body language, who really listens to what people say, and I am one of those people, then you can tell if it's a person who wants to get to know you or if it's someone who wants to get into your pants. You just have to listen to your gut, and you just have to listen to what's being presented to you. So if the person is genuinely interested in me, hey, green light. Doesn't mean that he's going to get into my pants, but it's a beginning towards, you know, potentially developing some form of relationship.
Okay, and tell my listening audience about any projects you might have coming up or where they can find out more about you on the World Wide Web.
Well, you can find me on the Huffington Post blog, Lauren Meservey. Also, Alan has been kind enough to tweet me a few times, so he has. You'd be able to find my Twitter handle through Alan. Thank you so much, Alan, for the wonderful promotions and for the great review that I am going to literally use for everything in my life. and my book as well is slated to be out by the end of the spring. So it's called The Book of Cyrus. I'm very proud of this project. It's a young adult fantasy, and I would encourage everyone to just stay tuned for updates on that.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate you joining me this evening for this discussion / debate, even though the debate wasn't as heated as some of my listeners probably anticipated.
It was just so lovely, wasn't it? It was so Canadian is what it was. We just engaged in, like, the perfect Canadian debate.
Canadian debate. Okay. All right.
And thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor.
Continued success to you, Lauren. And listeners, that's going to do it for tonight. Again, join me next Thursday. I'll have a discussion about sex addicts. What makes a man or a woman validly be labeled a sex addict? That will be next week's discussion. So until then, have a safe and enjoyable weekend, and I will talk to you next Thursday. Thank you.